There's a very interesting news from Paris. Yesterday, there was a big concert of Boy George. Are you all familiar with Boy George?
Yeah.
Who sang Bow Down, Mister? So, Boy George had a concert where 2,000 people came. And Boy George is actually a devotee at heart. He's, you know, you can understand that he sang Hare Krishna Mahamantra and he is in close, very close association with devotees. Actually, one of our godbrothers, Nayanabhiram Prabhu, was staying with him and he was kind of his secretary and friend. He also did a tour with Hare Krishna Maharaj and Satyanandan Maharaj in Poland. And I think he went to Russia also, yeah. He went to Moscow also last year. So that was our Gauranga Bhajan band. Yeah. With Gauranga Bhajan band he went to Russia. And wherever he goes, he actually invites the devotees. And in London last year, Janmashtami, he gave a performance on the stage. And so this way, he calls the devotees, asks them to come up on the stage and participate in the program. So last night, he had a performance in Paris in one of the most, you know, famous auditoriums. I don't know the name.
Bataclan.
So there, yeah, the gathering was about 2,000, and he sang, like, the first half he sang was very heavy music, rough music. Then he went off stage, and but this time when he came back, he came back wearing kurta and turban. And the show started with Govindam Adi Purusham playing on the background.
Yeah.
So then he also started singing himself along with Govindam Adi Purusham. And then he sang Bow Down, Mister. And after that, in Bow Down, Mister, when it came to Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then the light focused at the back of the stage where all the devotees were. Our devotees from Paris were on the stage and they started to sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra and all 2,000 people sang with him in chorus. And our devotees distributed prasad in that program. And the prasad and everything was so attractive that this morning one very big recording company in Paris called us up, Nitai Goswami Prabhu, and he said that in a few days he's opening a studio, a new studio. And in the inauguration of the studio, he wanted us to take up the catering, catering part of it, that we distribute prasad in dhotis and kurtas.
Wow.
And also devotees chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So in that, there will be 350 people, 350 guests, you know, invited guests will come. They all are from, you know, show business, all big people in this Karmi world today, in this degraded world, the most degraded, they are most famous. So, these people are going to come and take Krishna's mercy. And so, this was a very, very good news. And Nitai Goswami Prabhu is naturally in ecstasy. Now, this is how Krishna can actually do all kinds of wonderful things for spreading Krishna consciousness. Like, actually one thing I try to remind myself, and also I remind others, that Krishna consciousness spreads Krishna consciousness spread by Krishna's mercy. Nothing else can actually make Krishna consciousness spread. It's only through Krishna's mercy that Krishna consciousness spreads. And Krishna's mercy flows when Krishna sees our sincere desire to spread Krishna consciousness. Actually, the other day, somebody asked me, was it in Zurich? I think. He was asking why Krishna doesn't make the whole world Krishna conscious. So he is almighty, he is all powerful. Why doesn't he? He can do it. So why doesn't he do that? The answer, of course, is very common. The Prabhupada gave this answer also. The answer is that yes, Prabhupada can do that. But, I'm sorry, Krishna can do that. But Krishna wants his devotee to desire that. And as his devotee desires that let Krishna consciousness spread, then Krishna makes that happen. Because Krishna's devotees are actually Krishna's agents, Krishna's via medium, Krishna's representatives on the material platform. Therefore, it is Krishna's devotees who desire that let Krishna consciousness spread, and then Krishna consciousness spreads. So we have to sincerely desire that, that let Krishna consciousness spread, for the sake of Krishna consciousness. If we think, well, let Krishna consciousness spread so that I can become a big leader, or so that I can get so many people to serve me, then Krishna consciousness won't spread. Or I can get money, or I can get fame, or... No. When we put ourselves in the center, then it's not Krishna consciousness. We have to learn to put Krishna in the center. Let Krishna consciousness spread for Krishna's sake. Let Krishna consciousness spread so that everybody can benefit and go back to God. So as we desire that, then only Krishna consciousness spreads. Is there a need to translate? And as devotees, we don't have to worry about anything. If we become devotees, then Krishna will provide us with everything. And we don't have to separately ask Krishna for it. Krishna will give us everything we need. Krishna will send so many devotees that we will start wondering where to put them. Now we are thinking that New Mayapur is too big for a small community like us. But a day may come when we may think that New Mayapur is so small. We have so many devotees. Let's buy another pond like New Mayapur. And let's build another house like the guest house. What do you call that? Long building? Guest house. But this time when we build the house, guest house, we don't build only with 50 rooms, we build with 500 rooms. Actually, Krishna will make Krishna consciousness spread. And we can't imagine what kind of people may come forward to help. Like we have seen, when Prabhupada was here, Krishna actually sent different people. Krishna sent George Harrison, who actually made Hare Krishna movement considerably popular in this world. Because George Harrison at that time was such a popular, I mean, even I remember the Beatles, I mean, I became familiar with the Beatles when they were wearing, when they used to have that special Beatles haircut. Later on the chain started to grow long hair, actually in 70s, in late 60s, they were all growing long hair. But the Beatles were quite straight, they used to wear suits, and tie, and you know, they had a special, that used to be called also Beatles haircut. It's a kind of a straight thing in a sense. And, and they were, I mean, even those days they were so famous. That must have been in late 50s. Late 50s, early 60s. BT was so famous. And so George Harrison came forward, John Lennon also became quite close to Srila Prabhupada. Then also Krishna sent Ambarish, great grandson of Henry Ford. And not only now, this is happening since time immemorial. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers were preaching Krishna consciousness, many, many rich people came, many, many kings came and started to patronize. During when Nityananda Prabhu was preaching in Bengal, some very, very famous people started to patronize Nityananda Prabhu. Then when Srinivas Acharya Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu were teaching, just the generation after that, and after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's generation, actually during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time they were all very young, and they grew up, they were, when they were young men, then they started to preach. And Srinivas Thakur, Srinivas Acharya was patronized by one king, King Bir Hambir. And he initiated him, and Bir Hambir actually used to patronize him in a very, very big way. So Narottam Das Thakur himself was the son of a king. Then one king also became Narottam Das Thakur's disciple. Then the king of Manipur became a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. In this way, Krishna consciousness will spread. But if we are not prepared, then Krishna won't allow this movement to spread. Actually, Krishna can give us the whole world. But if we get the whole world, what will we do? We can't even manage New Mayapur. So if we get the whole world, what will we do? Therefore, first Krishna wants to see that we become prepared. When we are ready, then Krishna will say, okay, take it. And as we become ready, Krishna will give us more and more and more. And on our part, what should we expect? What should we desire? On our part, we simply desire that let me become the humble servant of the Lord. We should never think that, oh, when these big kings become my disciples, then I'll become so famous. No, then it will never happen. Then instead of Krishna, Maya will come and we'll be in trouble. But we should always think, let me be the humble servant. And this is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the secret of the success of Krishna consciousness. What is the formula for becoming a pure devotee? Yeah, very good. The formula is very simple. Trinadopi sunichena, karoropi shahishmina, amanina manadena, kirtanya sadhantari. So the first thing is that we have to become more humble than a blade of grass. Then, we have to become very tolerant. So these are the two most important things that we have to learn to practice. We have to practice. We have to cultivate. Actually, big devotee is not the one who is very big, holding a big position. Or big devotee is one who thinks himself to be very small. But he may think, the devotee thinks that he is very small, but Krishna makes him big. Like we can see the big devotees, Prahlad Maharaj. Did Prahlad Maharaj want to become a big devotee? No, Prahlad Maharaj was being persecuted. His father wanted to kill him. But Prahlad Maharaj just remain as a humble servant of Krishna. He simply depended upon Krishna. And Krishna made him so famous, Krishna made him such a big devotee, that he himself came down and he made his glory spread not only all over the three worlds, but he made his glory spread for all time, so that even though Prahlad Maharaj actually came millions of years ago, but still today we remember Prahlad. The Pandavas, they didn't want to become big devotees. They were undergoing so much difficulty, so much humiliation. Now can you imagine how painful it must have been when Draupadi was dragged into that assembly and insulted in public. How humiliating it is. But she just depended upon Krishna. And the Pandavas stayed up to Dharma, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj. At that time they could have actually created a havoc in that assembly. When they started to insult Draupadi, they could have practically turned the palace upside down and killed everyone there. Pandavas were so powerful. But they didn't do anything. Why? Because by the codes of religious principles, they could not do anything. They lost everything to the Kauravas in the game of dice. And they lost Draupadi also. So Draupadi was no more their property. Draupadi became the property of the Kauravas. And they could do anything, whatever they wanted to do. So that was the position that the Pandavas were in. So if we want to become big devotees, then we have to be prepared for that kind of situation and remain Krishna conscious. Yes.
You say that we have to be ready to receive and the people. So, as a spiritual master, what is your instruction for the disciples to do to be ready and as a devotee? What is the instruction you
give
from Mayapur specifically? What should be our goal before next Mayapur festival? What should we work on to be eligible to receive Krishna's mercy through the Janaka of your mercy?
Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Yeah. The first and foremost thing we must remember is that our business is to spread Krishna consciousness. Like this movement, this Krishna consciousness movement is actually a preaching movement. Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement is a preaching movement. So our only business is actually to preach Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness everywhere and let everybody get Krishna consciousness so that they can become free from the material bondage and go back to Godhead. And so preaching is our most important consideration. And so when people come here, in one hand we are making arrangements for guests to come to New Mayapur. So when we come, when they come, we must make it a point to teach to them, give them Krishna consciousness. We should think that these people are coming here, so how we can give them Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said that the best way to preach is by our own example. Like, we can make big lectures, we can speak a lot, but if we ourselves do not become devotees, our teaching will not have effect. So we have to present this community or individually ourselves as the devotees of Krishna. So when we become exemplary devotees of Krishna and people come and see us, how we are speaking, how we are behaving, how we are dealing with them, then automatically, they will become influenced. So one aspect of preaching is our personal behavior. Another aspect of preaching is when they come, we present our community as an ideal community, ideal in a human community. That's the second aspect of it. It is also very important that we present our Gurukul, you know, how we take care of our children, how we make them grow up in a very peaceful atmosphere. We should also remember that when people come here, actually, when people come to a situation like this, the first thing that is very appealing to them is the peace of this place. They feel very peaceful because the cities are so agitating, so much in the mode of passion, that when they come to a spiritual community, the first thing they appreciate is the peace. And we have to also lead them into that peaceful environment. Like, we can actually, one thing is very, very peaceful, or rather one thing makes us very peaceful is very soothing music, nice music. So we can actually gather them together, make them sing, and some devotees can lead the kirtan. Right, bhajan. Right. And actually, these people remember these kind of incidents, you know, like when they sit together with the devotees and sing. Not a very passionate kirtan. Passionate kirtan can be there during the arati. But you know, like, you know, if you all invite them, come and sit under the tree. Let's all sit in the grass. It's a beautiful evening. Let's sit on the grass. And devotees like Mother Narayani can lead them, lead the bhajan.
Also, the wife of Jagannandha, she was a good musician.
Oh.
There are so many talented persons in there.
What does she sing?
Qu'est-ce que tu joues dans l'instrument?
On parle de ça?
Singing on the very good. So, you know, like, you know, the Matajis, you know, like, there's so many nice singers, and they all can, you know, lead them into that bhajan. And I tell you, you know, these are the small, you know, it may be small thing to us, but it sticks to their mind, you know. Like, often they'll remember, oh, I went to this Hare Krishna temple in Lucy Lama, or Domaine Duble. And there, that evening, we sang with the devotees, and it was real divine. Like, that's how they remember, you know. Like, and this is how we must always make it a point that they really carry, you know, memorable impression of Nimai. We should also make it a point that they are treated very well when they come. Like, and I tell you, I'll give you an example. That the first time the English patron devotees came here, they actually arrived at night. They arrived at about 11:30, and I was waiting for them to come. And when they came, I actually went to the guest house, and you know, like, I made sure that they are properly situated and all. And still today, you know, they say that, you know, like, I mean, they always remember that, you know, like, I went with them, you know, and just took care of them, you know, like, seeing that, you know, like, they're properly situated. Of course, I didn't stay until they were completely situated, but just the fact that I went, it is in my memory. Like, and these are small gestures, you know, like, it doesn't really take very much on our part. But if we can just do that, you know, it goes a long way. And so we can, you know, like, we can, when they come, you know, if we offer them, you know, our sincere concern, then that will be the best way to teach. Because I tell you, you know, what does Krishna consciousness actually mean? In plain and simple words, Krishna consciousness actually means love. You know, the Sanskrit word for Krishna consciousness is Krishna prema. Now, prema, the word prema means love. Love for Krishna. And actually, love is for Krishna. But what we do, what a living entity is expected to do, is offer that love of Krishna to others. And that is how one living entity loves another living entity. So, and everyone is starving for love. In this world, you know, like there is only a shortage of one thing. Everybody is looking for love. Because the whole world is so full of hatred. And actually in the material platform there is no love. We know that. What goes on in the name of love is actually love. There is no love. And that's why in the material platform everyone is so frustrated. And everyone is dying for love. And devotees are the only ones who know what actually love is and how to offer it. Because love means Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema. And that love for Krishna is living entity offers to other living entities, and that is teaching. So that is the ultimate teaching. So we must, you know, sincerely feel. And then again, how does Krishna consciousness transmit? Does it transmit through our intellect? No. Krishna consciousness doesn't transmit through intellect, or doesn't spread through our intellectual, you know, it doesn't spread from here. Somebody may give a very, very erudite lecture, you know, it won't have any effect. But somebody will say just a few words, but you know, it moves the whole world. Why? Because it is coming from the heart. And actually Krishna consciousness spreads from the heart. It's a communication between soul to soul. Right? And where is the soul situated? The soul is situated in the heart. That's why the common expression is that it is heart's feelings or heart's representation. So it is, you know, that's why we can see Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudev. From Vasudev's heart, Krishna was transferred to Mother Devaki's heart. Right? So this is how actually Krishna goes, that this is how Krishna consciousness comes. And so, in a plain and simple word, when these people come, let us really feel for them. That here is somebody who needs Krishna. Or in plain sense, and if we don't understand what Krishna is or who Krishna is, at least we can feel that here is a person who needs love. And let's give it to him. And if we do that, I tell you, he'll be prepared to do anything for that. Actually, our mistake is when instead of giving them that love, we started to get their money, you know, then everything actually became destroyed. You know, we are not interested in their welfare at all. We started to think, you know, how we are going to get their money, by hook or by crook. And so, as a result of that, you know, like everything is so we must remember that the devotees, they are here. I mean, we all are here to give Krishna consciousness. And let's try to do it in the best possible way. And then the other details will automatically fall in place. You know, if we care for them, you know, then we will make sure that, you know, the prasadam that we serve them is very nice. Like if when some guests come to our house, what do? We try to please him in the best possible way. We offer him nice prasad, we make nice arrangements for him. So we must remember that these are our guests, these are the people who are here, who Krishna sent to be preached to, and let us try to give them the best of what we can. And they won't care actually whether we are poor or rich. You know. Even if they feel that, you know, we are very, very poor, you know, they wouldn't mind. Actually, if they see that we are actually very poor and we are facing a lot of difficulties, then they will become even more concerned. Even more sympathetic to yourself. Oh, these people need my help. So let me go ahead.
It's realizing that the success of Radhadev is mainly because they are very dedicated to welcome people. It happened to my family to come, and sometimes we arrive very late at the time where everybody just thinks to go to bed. And the devotee tried immediately the best they could to give us accommodation. Immediately from Mataji said, okay, Mataji, come, you can stay with me. And it's amazing because we know they are at so much service that we felt so much welcome. That I also always remember this interview.
You know, by our experience that when we leave the association of such a pure personality that you are, which are full of enthusiasm, that we go back to this routine and in our service, and then we tend to forget all these things, bhajan and the gunas again. Can you give some advice how we remember all this when it's needed?
The best way to remember all this is to read Prabhupada's book. You know, if you read Prabhupada's book, you'll be reminded about this again and again. Because Prabhupada is repeatedly reminding us that this is what our mission is. So let's take Prabhupada's teachings to our heart. Read Prabhupada's book, listen to Prabhupada's tapes. And also remember the instructions that we received. And as I was explaining about Harinamananda Prabhu the other day, did I mention here? Oh, that I mentioned in Paris. Or did I say here? That was in Paris. Like, Harinamananda Prabhu, one day I went out to watch him distribute books. And it was a very wonderful experience, actually. To see that people are actually impressed. Because he cares about them. He is not giving them the book just to you know, get a few thanks out of him. But he's giving out the books to them because he's convinced that by reading this book, these people are going to be convinced. And that's why he's so ecstatic when he's distributing this. And ecstasy is something that influences others. If you're ecstatic, the next person to you will become ecstatic. But if you're morose, then the next person to you will also become morose. And he will try to run away. Therefore, it's very important that we become very, very sincere about our spiritual goals. And as sincere we become about accomplishing our goals, to that degree we will become enthusiastic. So, any other question, maybe? You see, maybe I can read it out. On the table there is a book, I think, Magadhi Mahatma. this book is called Navadvip Mahatmya. This is a description of Jiva Goswami's parikrama of Navadvip. And who took Jiva Goswami in this parikrama? Nityananda Prabhu. And then Nityananda Prabhu, at the end of the parikrama, in the 18th chapter of this book, is instructing Srila Jiva Goswami. So I'll just read from here and then I'll come to that point. This topic of sambandha is a deep thing, Nityananda Prabhu is telling me. What is the meaning of sambandha? Relationship. Sambandha, then?
Abhideya.
So sambandha means relationship. Relationship between Krishna and Devotee, and also the relationship between Krishna, devotee, a Krishna, living entity, material. So, because we can't neglect material nature, because we have to understand what is this material nature. This material nature is Krishna's external nature. So, this topic of sambandha is a deep thing, O son of Vallabha, a treasure that the conditioned soul cannot easily understand. Even if one calls out the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya with seeming affection, if that relationship is not established in the heart, he simply remains in the material realm. So one may call out the name of Krishna Chaitanya with seeming affection, but if that relationship hasn't been established in the heart, you know, then he still remains in the material. Such a person resides on top of the dham's illusory covering and never attains pure dham. So one may be in the dham, one may do the parikrama of the dham, one may reside in the dham, but if he does not develop his sambandha, relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the heart, then he won't see the dham. He will remain in the outer covering of the dham, which is just a material facade. But the real dham is underneath that, beyond that. What we are seeing with our mundane eyes is not the dham. Just as in order to see Krishna, we need spiritual vision. In order to see Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham also, we need spiritual vision. And that spiritual vision will develop only when we develop our relationship with Krishna in the heart. That person... That person is a dharma dhaji or hypocritically devout, who is specially duplicitous, who has no humility and is full of pride, yet still thinks he is fully qualified. By the devotee's mercy, even such a person can give up his pride and perform devotional activities. One should think himself lower than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. He should not desire respect for himself, but should expertly offer respect to others. When one possesses these four qualities and sings the glories of Lord Krishna, his relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests within his heart. So what it means? That when one becomes more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, desires no respect for himself but offer all respect to others, and chants the name of Krishna purely, then he develops his relationship with Krishna. Now, with Krishna, there are five relationships. Santa, Vasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. By first worshipping Gauranga in the mood of Santa and Vasya, the devotee attains Krishna's service in the other rasas. Is that clear? Just by serving, I'll just repeat again. By first worshipping Gauranga in the mood of Santa and Vasya, the devotee attains Krishna's service in the other rasas. Other rasa means Sakha, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So this Nityananda Prabhu is very clearly indicating one cannot directly go to Krishna and develop his relationship with Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. It's impossible. One cannot directly go to Braja and develop a relationship with Krishna. But the process is one serves. That's why Krishna came, which has been explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna thought that in other times, in other ages, I have given Vaidiva in the mood of awe and reverence. But by practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, one goes only up to Vaikuntha. And this Braja Prem is not available to the living entity. But now I will offer it to the living entity. And in order to offer it to the living entity, this Braja Prem, meaning the relationship with Krishna in Shakta, Vatsalya and Madhurya, he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the process is that one serves Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shanta and Dasharas, and by doing that he becomes qualified and develops his relationship with Krishna and Vrindavan in Shakta, Vatsalya and Madhurya. So that was the point I was making the other day. Now this I'll just carry on because that is further clarifying. So by first worshipping Gauranga in the mood of Shanta and Dasya, the devotee attains Krishna's service in the other rasas. According to his relationship with the Lord, the devotee's eternally perfect mood spontaneously manifests in the course of his devotional life. Whoever makes the distinction between Gauranga and Krishna is contemptible and will never attain a relationship with Krishna. But in the association of devotees, one who possesses the qualities, beginning with humility, will first worship Gauranga in Dasya or servitude relationship. The Dasya Ras is the highest mood in the worship of Gauranga. It is in that mood that the devotees call Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. One who is qualified in Madhurya Ras worships Gauranga in the form of Radha Krishna. So this here is the answer to your question. One who is qualified in Madhurya Ras worships Gauranga in the form of Radha and Krishna. As Radha and Krishna have combined in one form as my Gauranga Rai, their pastimes do not appear to be manifest in his form. Their pastime, Radha Krishna's pastime, doesn't appear to be manifest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form. Therefore, Mahaprabhu is served only in Shanta and Dasya. Right? Not, one cannot work, develop a relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Madhurya. Right? When the worship of Gauranga in Dasya Ras reaches full maturity in the heart of the living entity, Madhurya Ras naturally develops in it. So when so I'll read this again. When the worship of Gauranga in Dasya Ras reaches full maturity in the heart of the living entity, Madhurya Ras naturally develops in it. At that time, one's worship of Gaurhari qualifies him to worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is the Rag. Worshipping Radha Krishna in Rag Marg begins at this stage. So the process of approaching Rag Bhakti is by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Lakshya. Gauranga then drowns the devotee in the nectar of Radha and Krishna's eternal pastime, which the devotee enters as he attains Vrindavan. Very good question. Very good question. Because this will clarify the doubt. Or this will, you know, completely, I mean, this will help to understand the point. Who is Lalita and Mahaprabhu's pastime? Sarvadamudra. And what is Sarvadamudra doing? Sarvadamudra is Mahaprabhu's servant. Right? Mahaprabhu's secretary. Who is Vishakha? Ramanandaya. And what's he doing? Serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're not saying, come, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let's have a Rasa dance. They're just serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Mahaprabhu.
Then in the latest pastime, very much as
actually, we don't know what was going on between Mahaprabhu and 3.5 personalities. We do not know. Mood of a devotee is total attachment. Mahaprabhu's devotees are totally attached to Chaitanya. There's a very nice example. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they were walking in Navadvipa. So they came to the forest, near Alakananda River, the name of the place is Harihar Kshetra. So there was next to Alakananda, there was a forest, they walked into the forest. And there was a bird, parrot. So Mahaprabhu caught the parrot. And he says that you are Sutta. And he says, so please tell us about Krishna. But what did the parrot say? The parrot said, Gaura, Gaura, Gaura. So he said, no, you should speak about Krishna, but the parrot said. So that is the mood of the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That you see, the ideal servant never leaves the feet of his master. We should not think that, okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a stepping stone, let us serve him in Dastara so that we can enter into Madhurya Rasa. And once I get Madhurya Rasa, you know, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we can reject. No. Actually, the devotee's mood is that my only attachment, my whole and soul attachment is at the lotus feet of Chaitanya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reveal, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give us Radha Krishna. We would not desire it ourselves, but Mahaprabhu will. Because Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna. So by developing our attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dashara, we develop our relationship with Radha Krishna in Mahaprabhu.
Do you have any examples of the kind of works you can have devotees in Shankara?
Mahaprabhu's devotees anywhere in Shankara. Like the first person I can think of is Sarvani Vatachan. In Shantaras, in the sense, in the beginning they are in Shantaras, but then Shantaras, you see, as long as rain it is, the default, Shantaras is rain. Shanta means actually neutral. Neutral means no action, no activity. The appreciation is there, that here is Krishna, here is the Supreme Personality. Here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That understanding is there, but no activity is there. But when the service begins, then it becomes
Dasha. So practically, if we're doing some Harinam and some people are watching and appreciating the Harinam,
yeah,
we can and eventually when they become
eventually they'll start to serve, and the service will begin in Dasha. But from Dasha, it will go into. Yes? Very good. Yes. Yes. Actually, our business is to become a devotee of our spiritual master. And then that spiritual master is actually Nityananda. He is the manifestation of it. And then through the spiritual master we come to Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu takes us to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that. Yes? Yeah, the spiritual master is the representative of Chaitanya.
But when you serve ourselves, we try to serve Lord Chaitanya through the spiritual master in that channel. There's a chantalas on that channel. We cannot expect that this dasha or chantalas be of the same quality as like the center of the Nama Prasanna. In the disengagation of this chantal dasha.
Well, no, the thing, what I meant is that in the beginning, Sarvam Bhattacharya's thing was like Dashira, Ashad Shantira. Because the appreciation was there, but then he also naturally developed Dashira and, you know, and then, you know, he was elevated to Vrindavan.
Yes. But like all Shantaras and each Shantaras are not of the same quality. Because
it will depend upon how much one, how much, you know, attachment, how much love one has developed for Krishna. You can say, yes, there is a difference, because Sarvam Bhattacharya, he was such a learned person, that when he recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God, he recognized him as God in a very, very profound way. Whereas who is Sarvam Bhattacharya?
Yes.
And that's why I mentioned Sarvam Bhattacharya, because he's so, he's the guru of the demigods. So he's so learned. He was the greatest scholar of all time in this world. So then, naturally, then he recognizes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is a Santaras? Santaras is that material attachment completely given up. Like the heart became completely peaceful. Although it did not enter into the spiritual attachment or spiritual service, but the heart became completely peaceful because of its detachment from the material. But then, from there, the activity, the pure devotional service in that. So Santaras actually means, you know, total cessation of material. Like we are in the material nature. Now we just come, transcend the material nature, come onto the neutral platform. No more material nature, but still the spiritual nature didn't start. We did not as yet enter into the spiritual nature. So that is the region, plane of Santaras. But then transcending that plane, we come to the spiritual nature. And in spiritual nature, spiritual nature is service, dasha. Service. In the spiritual side, akola ishwar krishna, ashrad vidya. Krishna is the only Lord and Master. and everyone else is discovered.
But our Shankara is, I mean, at least mine, is quite tense with Mother Nature. So can it be called Shankara? It is mixed with Mother Nature.
Well, the thing is, you can say that, you see, it is not fully transcendentalized yet. There is still some tinge of material. But at least we have become engaged in dasya service. And as you keep on serving, you see, material things will automatically be arrived. And you are able to serve Krishna without as such crossing the Shankaras and coming to dasya because of the mercy of Guru Krishna. Shankaras can be impersonalist or also can be personalist. Yeah. When one does not accept the Lord having a form, then he is Mayavadi. And although the Mayavadis try to attain Shankaras, but they can't actually get Shankaras. Mayavadis don't get Shankaras because their heart is so full of desires. How can they show it? Therefore it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atuev Shanta. You understand the word? Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, you understand the word Shanta, right? Only a devotee of Krishna is Shanta. Because he doesn't have any desire. Nishkam. Kam means desire. Nishkam means no desire. But bhukti mukti siddhi kami. Bhukti means those who want to enjoy material nature. Mukti, those who want liberation, the Mayavadis. Siddhi, Kami, the yogis want to have yogic perfection, yoga siddhi. Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami, Shakoli, Ashanti. They all are Ashanti, not Shanti. So that is the position. Like only a devotee can be Shanta, others cannot be Shanta. They may speak very peacefully, but they are not Shanta. In the heart, they are agitated. They are trying to, but they can't be Shanta. And a devotee's heart is naturally peaceful. How does a devotee's heart is naturally peaceful? Prabhupada actually gives a very nice example. A child is crying. A child is crying, and no matter how you try to pacify the child, how to make the child stop crying, nothing will stop. But as soon as the mother comes and picks up the baby, and then the child stops crying. So, similarly, a living entity will remain ashanta, or will be crying, will be full of desires, will become very, very agitated until the time period he gets the shelter of Krishna. And when he gets Krishna's lotus feet, he automatically becomes Krishna.
In the Bhagavad Gita, it said, Bhama Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochatina Kanshati. When you were speaking, I was thinking about this first. Is it difficult to come to this platform, Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatmana, Shachati, in a concept? Is it difficult?
Okay. I can tell you from my own experience. You see, maybe it happened to you also. I'll give you your example. Okay, I'll just give you some experience I had. You see, when I got the Nectar of Devotion, that's the first book I got. Started reading. And when I started reading it, I felt that this is what I was looking for. And as I kept on reading, I became more and more convinced about Krishna consciousness. And while reading the book, I made up my mind that I'm going to surrender. Now, when I resolved that I would surrender to Srila Prabhupada, you know, I felt that for the first time in my life, I realized what peace actually means. You know, I felt that now I'm surrendering to Prabhupada, I'm surrendering to Krishna. And Krishna will take care of me, I won't have to worry about it. And in a way, that is the Brahma-bhuta realization. Because, you know, we don't have anything to worry about. Na sochati, na function. No more hankering, no more lamentation. Because Krishna will take care. Now, just like a child, doesn't have any hankering, doesn't have any lamentation, because he knows that my father is there, my mother is there, and they will take care of me. Like, you know, he doesn't even care what he wants and what he lost. He is happy just being under the protection of his father. So similarly, a devotee, when he surrenders unto Krishna, he feels that way. So that is the thing, that is the platform of Brahma Bhuta platform. Brahma-bhuta prasannatma na sochati na kanchati. And I think that happens to every devotee. When he decides, why does the devotee join the movement? Because he knows Krishna is God. And he knows that his business is to surrender unto him. And when he surrenders unto him, then he feels that, well, no more anxiety. Now I am perfectly peaceful. But then, after becoming a devotee, he gets another kind of anxiety. But that is spiritual anxiety.
How is it that most of the devotees they go through experience that they become serious in the beginning and some of the
very good. Actually, this question I dealt with in Paris in France when I was giving the course of Madhurya Kadambini last year. You see, because I just mentioned that because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you know, Madhuji Kadambini, explained it very nicely. He said that there are different types of anartha. So the first stage of anartha, or, you know, like a devotee, one becomes a devotee but he has anartha. So he goes through different stages. The first stage is called utshaho muni, meaning enthusiastic. So when one joins, he is very enthusiastic. And he gives the example, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example, that as a child gets a new book. Do you remember when you got, as a child you got a new book?
Oh, yes, yes.
How did you feel?
Oh,
yeah, you felt ecstatic, right? You became so attached to the book that even when you went to sleep with the book, and you were all the time with the book, but then you lost some interest. Sometimes when you saw the book you become interested, and sometimes not so interested. So that's the next thing. That is called dhana tarala. Sometimes intense, sometimes dilute. The attachment sometimes is very, for Krishna is sometimes very intense, and sometimes kind of dilute. So this way, you know, one goes through different stages. So the first stage is utsahana. A devotee, when he joins, he becomes very enthusiastic. But then his enthusiasm begins to wane. Lila Madhuri, you raise your hand?
You have to go first.
Okay. Actually, Krishna allows the living entity to desire whatever he wants, and accordingly, Krishna fulfills his desire. To clarify your point, I can also say, I mean, this question is something like asking also, like, why doesn't Krishna take all the living entities out of the material nature into the spiritual? Why? What is the answer? Krishna can take everybody back to the spiritual, but why doesn't Krishna do that? No. He doesn't.
Not love. He does that.
Right. Krishna, right. Krishna actually fulfills the desires of the living entity. Krishna has given the living entities their independence, and they have the independence to desire. Now somebody who wants to enjoy himself, Krishna fulfills his desire by putting him in a material nature. But when somebody desires that I want to serve Krishna, then Krishna takes him back to the spiritual. Now some devotee desires to serve Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God, which is a natural thing. Like if God is there and you are here, what are you going to do? Like if you know that He is God, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell Him, "Hi Krishna, how are you doing?" and put your arm around Him? Around His No. Because when you know that He is God, you have a natural way to think about Him. Like the way we see the Lord in the altar. Right? When we see the deity of the Lord in the altar, do we go there and just put our arms around Him? Or do we try to climb on His back? No. Because we know that He is God and God must be treated in a certain way. And that is called awe and reverence. So the natural, you know, relationship between living entity and God is an awe and reverence. But Vrindavan relationship is a very, very special relationship. The relationship between living entities and our Krishna's devotees and Vrindavan is a very, very special relationship, which Krishna actually allows to some very, very intimate devotees. And in order to do that, Krishna makes the arrangement through Jogamaya. Because if they recognize Krishna as God, then they won't be able to deal with Him that way. If Nanda Maharaj knows that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would never ask Him to carry His shoes on His head. If Mother Yashoda knew that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she would never try to tie Him with a rope or, you know, chase Him with a stick in her hand. Right? But Krishna wants that kind of reciprocation with His devotees. So Krishna reciprocates with very, very intimate devotees for His own pleasure. And the arrangement is made by Jogamaya. That's why no one can actually enter into Vrindavan. One cannot say, "Well, I will become Krishna's friend. And Dasavas is not good enough. So, let me become Krishna's friend at least." And then after 2 days you'll think, "Well, just being a friend is not good enough. Let me become Krishna's girlfriend. And let me develop madhurya." But no, it can never happen like that. That's why, I was answering Saraswati's question, that in order to allow living entities to go to Vrindavan and develop a relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna came as Chaitanya. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is allowing devotees. And not only this, I mean anyone actually. But come to Vrindavan. You are not attracted to Me in Vaikuntha. So okay, come. come to Vrindavan. I'll give you the highest, I'll reveal my highest glory in order to attract you. So this is how, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is attracting the living entities to most elevated dealings with it. Yeah, don't remain in the mental platform. Just try to serve Krishna. Don't try to intellectualize this. You'll never be able to. Now, first of all, you try to get out of the material nature. Then you think of the intellectual. Try to understand that you're still in the material nature. You do not even know what the intellectual is. You do not even know what Vrindavan is. So why first you try to understand where you are. And first you try to understand that you are suffering here. First you try to understand that your business is to get out of this material nature. Because it's pointless trying to intellectualize, I don't understand, like, you know, you don't have to understand it. Because why Krishna doesn't take the living entities from Vaikuntha? You know, like, there's no need to understand that way, like, as I said, like, every living entity naturally develops a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in awe. That's a natural relationship of a living entity. But the Vrindavan thing is a special mercy of Krishna and Chaitanya. You have to understand that even Lakshmi Devi cannot enter into Vrindavan. Yes, you have a question?
No, first, you have this answer.
I think we're talking about
okay, the
trying to
We
are the beginning of the mission, but still, we have some natural inclination for that kind or other kind of relationship. Is that nothing to do, or is it a reflect of our natural relationship with Krishna?
Like what? No, you can't become, you can't pick, I want to become a friend of Krishna.
No, but you can see we have some natural inclination, not we can feel we are more attracted by that. So, is it not speculation?
It's a speculation. Because first you have to start off with servitorship. Mm-hmm. And the service, as I just read, but first you have to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you see Sri Radha Krishna on the altar, you have to recognize that you are their servant. And this Radha Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Krishna Balaram is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? With that way you recognize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And that the mood of service is sarvitaship. In the initial stage, there is no question of friendship, there is no question of parenting. That will happen at an advanced stage. And it will happen, we cannot desire it ourselves. It will come by Krishna's mercy. Otherwise it will be a mundane thing, you know, because everybody wants to, you know, if you ask someone, you know, like, if you ask somebody, what relationship you want with Krishna, what will he say? No, I'm just saying, like, now, what will be the natural response? Yeah, yeah, it's I want in Madhu Jara.
Yeah,
But the thing is that servitorship to Krishna starts with, you know, relationship with Krishna starts with Ashura. The Jivesh Harup Hai, Krishner Mitra Dash. Eternal. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is a servant. Well, I'll just take it in order. Maybe I'll take Jagadananda Prabhu first, then Radharani. Okay. 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 And then Mother Aradhya. Then Lila Madhuri, you raise your hand also. And then Saraswati. Okay.
Just maybe to, in order to understand more what you're saying. Are you saying that we should work on our material desire, on our task first, to see that we become more pure in our following of our principles? And then after we... Okay, and first, and the second thing I like to ask you, Maharaj, how is it that in this age we are the most fallen in Kali Yuga, and we are eligible to get the highest level of how is it?
So the answer to that question is that because the living entities are so contaminated, so fallen in this age, that's why in order to attract them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to offer them the highest. Another way of looking at it is, I think this is actually more, you know, easy for us to understand, is that the just as the mother is most concerned about her weakest child, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become most concerned about the most fallen living entities of the earth. That's why he has come down himself to offer the highest.
Is it causeless?
It's causeless.
We don't deserve it.
We don't deserve it. We don't know why, how we got it. But we have to understand this is the most causeless in the whole thing. Mother Arabia?
I just want to make sure I understand
very good point actually. And actually that clears Dr. Clare's point. Right. Thank you. Vila Madhavi? What's that? Why? Because I blasted you? Okay, then tell me what is your problem. What point do you remember? What's that?
You just said you don't need to meditate upon what is what and why is this and why is that, because anyway you're not on this level. So what shall I do? I mean, if I'm not attracted to be in awe and reverence to the Lord, but rather to if I share any thought on what is so sweet in human feeling.
Okay, now I'll go back to just now what Mother Aradhya said. You see, Ras or the mellow is actually a spiritual thing. It is not material. I mean, you know, like these mellows, like servitorship or friendship, especially, you know, friendship, parental and conjugal, it is a reflection of the spiritual mellow in this material life. Now, you know, like when you say, well, I'm not attracted to servitorship, I'm attracted to friendship, you know, then the question is that do you really understand what spiritual friendship is? Or you are just thinking about material friendship? Because in the material platform you have some idea about what friendship is, you are attracted to that, you are interested to develop that relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then you consider, is it so easy to become a friend of a very, very big person? Think of a very big personality in this planet, in this world. Can you think of someone very big, very famous, very... Can you think of somebody? Doesn't matter. Can you think of anyone? But then also, you can't have a friendship with your spiritual master. Your spiritual master is not your friend.
United States, for example.
Okay, so Jagannatha Prabhu is saying the president of the United States. Now, can you develop, can you say that he is my friend? I want to be his friend. can you think that way? I mean, that's why I asked you, who you think is a great person? There's no one that you can think of. Okay, let's hypothetically consider, as Jagannatha Prabhu said. Like, if somebody, an ordinary person, desires that, well, I want to be a friend of, his name is Bush. So, if somebody wants to be a friend of Clinton, can he just desire, wishfully think like that and have his desire fulfilled? Even to see Clinton, one has to have such elaborate arrangement. Right? Now consider, if an ordinary human being, it is so rare to develop a relationship with an ordinary human being like that, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of God? And actually Chaitanya Charitamrita gives an example, or you know, like maybe I can elaborate that example a little bit. Can you go onto the altar and put your foot on the deity? Can you do that? Can you ever dare to do that? But that's what Krishna's friends do in Vrindavan. They put their foot on Krishna's back and climb on his back. Right? So can you imagine, you know, like in what kind of, you know, the people and the living and the devotees in Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, are also pure. But they do not have this prerogative. So that is why, like, we have to understand that entrance to Vrindavan is impossible. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very mercifully came to give it to us. Because Mahaprabhu allowed us to understand what these relationships are with Krishna in Vrindavan. Because otherwise, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people didn't have any understanding at all. But through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we got to know about that. That these are the relationships that one can develop with Krishna in the most elevated platform in spiritual science. But the way to enter into those pastimes of Krishna is through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in order to do that, we have to serve him in the pure mood of salvation. Now do you understand? Okay. Don't depend upon karma. Anyway, I mean, of course, if one is in the material platform. Now, if you are saying, if...
Mm-hmm.
No. No. If that wish, if that desire to be a Manjari is not backed by the spiritual understanding, it will never, you know, one will never think of Krishna at the time of death. One will never think of. At the most, one may think that he is going to be a girl and he will get a body of a woman. But that can happen. But to be a Manjari, we have to understand what a Manjari is. It's a complete, total spiritual, you know, position, and that relationship with Krishna is totally spiritual. Right? And it does not depend upon our thinking about it. You understand the point? And also, try to understand one thing, that at the time of death, one does not think of himself as such and such. At the time of death, one must think of Krishna. But with the mood that he will think of Krishna, according to that mood, he will develop. Now, an example can be given, like Putana got the position of Krishna's mother. Right? Now, how did it happen? How did it actually happen? In one hand, of course, Krishna's mercy. But it happened because when she offered her breast to Krishna as a mother, and she saw this beautiful little child, she actually, just this act, made her think of Krishna as a son. And that is how she actually got the body. And another very important thing that you have to remember, not only you, all of us have to remember, is that we do not think of our relationship with Krishna whimsically, ourselves. We just follow what our spiritual master told us. So when your spiritual master tells you to develop your relationship in Shravikaship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think you should follow his instructions. There are varieties of service. There are varieties of exchanges. Like varieties of services there. But the point is, no one there in Vaikuntha thinks of Krishna as a friend, or mother or father, or Krishna's lover. That's the variety is there. You know, like, say for example, a very big man, you know, like he has many, many servants, right? All the servants are actually serving the master, you know, with a mood of servitorship, right? But the rich man is having different kinds of arrangements, right? Like someday he's throwing a party, someday he's going to, But the servants are always thinking, they're also enjoying different varieties with the master. But their attitude towards the master is that of the servant. So who was me? And then the meditation and then.
Maharaj, I was wondering if these different stages of Bhajana Kriya and those different stages of Anarchy Yuki, if they all seem like one is for the good of one and then people then the dangers of the next one follow, or
it can also happen side by simultaneously. Or one can happen after. Like, you know, basically it can, like for example, you know, we are not always in one mellow, or rather one mood, one mode. Sometimes we are in the mode of goodness, sometimes we are in the mode of passion, sometimes we are in the mode of ignorance. Similarly, in a spiritual relationship or a spiritual platform a spiritual, you know, service to Krishna, there are different, you know, it changes, you know, there are different ways of.
So we can go from anatomy to
Yeah. But those stages, the higher stages, you know, like, say, you know, like sometimes there may be nishtha, but still anartha may be there. Mm-hmm. But nishtha is there, but anarthas are also there. Right? Actually, to say that the anarthas are completely eradicated in the prema stage. Some anarthas still remain in the bhava stage. Only in same stage the anarthas are completely eradicated. But that's why it is said, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nittam bhagavata seva. Nashta prayeshu means almost eradicated. I think Prabhupada is giving, you know, a graphic example, like about 75% anarthas are eradicated in anartha nidhi. But then, you know, like in the bhava stage, there were 95% eradicated, but still 5% eradicated. But in same stage, 100% eradicated. Yeah, then ultimately, you know, like it goes to Vishaya Sangara, Niyamakshana, and then finally Taranga Gangi. So, the ultimate stage is called, okay, the gradual elevation is something like Vishaya Sangara. Sometimes, you know, like there's a fight, there's a struggle, war, between, war with Vishaya, or material nature, material object. Right? So he feels that, you know, I'm going to give up everything. No, that is that Buddha Vikalpa, that's the third stage. Mm. That he sometimes deciding from changing, wavering, and changing his mind. Sometimes he thinks I'll go to Vrindavan, and sometimes he thinks no, let me stay home, at home, my children are so young, if I leave what will happen to my wife? So when there are so many devotees who are actually in household life, there are so many devotees who had, were advanced, but they were in household life. So I practice Krishna consciousness in household life. So sometimes you think of giving up everything.
I watch your news, but no, I'm just speaking a joke for some time.
So that is called Buddha Vikalpa. Accepting, rejecting. This is the business of the mind. Then comes Vishaya Sangara. Like he knows that, I mean, I do not want to become attached to material. I will not be attached to this material object. But in this fight, in this struggle against this war against this object of the material nature, sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. Then Niyamakshama. Niyamakshama is, he makes a vow. Today I will chant 64 rounds. Today I will fast from water. Today is Ekadasi. In the morning he took that vow. But by the time it was 10 o'clock, he starts thinking. After all, Prabhupada said. That is called Niyamakshama. And then it is Tarangarangini. The waves of this material nature, like, you know, like name, fame, distinction, adoration, profit come to the devotee. Just as Krishna is all attractive, Krishna's devotee.